Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the once a month Tuesday night open calls. And this is the week. It is July 13th, 2021. It's hard to believe that. We're halfway through the summer already.
Yeah, it is.
And we're
right?
waiting for our other moderators to come along with any guests that are going to join
remember.
Us tonight.
If they remember.
Yeah, well, it's midsummer. I mean, you know, last year people were all hog-tied up in their houses and what have you, and they didn't get to do much. So I think there's a lot of people out making up for lost time.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, that what everybody's talking about that's not being talked about on the news or media or any of that stuff is the upcoming thought of the end of this year, next year, and the extensive amount of foreclosures and all the different crazy stuff that they expect to be happening by this time next year,
yeah.
Which I think is hilarious because nobody wants to listen to old crazy Jesse. I'm telling you that there's some changes coming. It's in the air. It's there. And it's going to come down like a freaking ton of brick, buddy.
Yep.
You know? It has to happen. So we'll
yep,
see what happens. But that's what everybody is talking about behind the scenes, quietly. And nobody wants to say a word, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who's been in the construction business, rehab, working on rental properties for, you know, property managers and stuff. He's been doing
it
for many years. And basically is large part turned it over to a guy that's worked for him for 20 years. But he told me today that normally this is a real busy time of year. June, July, and August are real busy for them. There's nothing.
Well, there's plenty of work here.
Thing,
I promise you.
Everything, well, this is here in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
And the business, and I mean, this is a long, he's got a long established business. He's been around for a long time. He's got a great reputation. He said there is just nothing. They did a water heater last week. That's the only thing that they've had in almost 2 weeks. And normally they'd be gangbusters going crazy doing stuff. He says he's talked to some of the people, the rental agents and property managers and stuff, and they said things are really slow in the pipeline on people getting loan approvals. All that
wow.
is really slowed
well,
down.
Well, that would partially be, Wells Fargo announced that they will not be
yeah.
doing any personal loans.
Yeah. And
wait
they
a minute, Terry, what are you talking about?
At the same
about?
Time. You didn't hear that, Jesse?
That was last week.
Shit, no, I didn't hear
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Wells Fargo is shutting off all personal loans. And a lot of people have been doing loans, you know, anywhere from $3,000 to $100,000, you know, for doing debt consolidation or doing this, you know, making deals on houses and all that kind of stuff.
Locks and stuff
they're,
like that.
They're shutting it all completely off, and they said
personal lines
that
of credit, yeah.
Personal loans, yeah, and they said that there will be people's credit scores that will be impacted as a result of that. They're
yeah.
shutting all off. Yeah, but this friend of mine was telling me today, you know, he said things are just abnormally quiet, and the property managers and people are saying that the loan approvals aren't coming through. Everything is just slowed way, way, way down. So there's something in the wind. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm just put type that in. It's unbelievable. It's just unreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, we could go.
Yeah.
No, I don't bank with, you know, Wells Fargo. I've never liked them. Over the, you know, I'm from out west. So are they. I just never cared for them. They're just too big of a bank for me. And,
yeah, well, they did
you
too
know,
much
I bank with
corrupt
stuff. Yeah, exactly. So I don't personally like them, you know, yeah, but whatever.
Right, but they're just the first domino to fall in this little game. You know, and when a bank that big makes that announcement, what do you think the other banks of smaller
banks? Well, it says it's because of compliance issues, so I don't want to jump into conclusions.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, they got in trouble for all the fraudulent account openings they were doing and stuff here several years ago. They got caught, and this is they're saying that this is fallout from that. But, you know, that's the financial media. Do you trust what they say?
I don't. You know, if you really believe Wells Fargo did anything wrong, you lost your mind.
Yeah. Well, I'm just one of those dopes wandering around here aimlessly.
Seriously, you know that they don't do anything. Wells Fargo is a straight up and down bank. They're just as straight as can be.
They're exactly as straight.
They don't monetize loan applications, do they?
No.
They're as reliable and believable.
Hold on, Terry. That's my famous statement. As reliable as what? A hemorrhoid.
No.
That's my favorite one ever.
They are every bit as reputable as Encore Capital Group.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable. Well, I never heard that, so that's, you know, whatever it is. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's...
There's so much stuff coming out on a daily basis now. I mean, hourly, just about. You just can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is...
Yeah.
What am I looking for here? There's a lot of news about institutions buying up a whole lot of Bitcoin. That's all I'm going to say. So it's kind of, to me, it's funny that this happens, you know, as this goes together, that's all. But whatever, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, I did something that I had not planned on doing.
This is.
I ended up having to buy a smartphone.
I told you.
And then
you
it turned out to be stupid.
Yeah, no.
No, Jesse, because it turned out to be a stupid phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, they say they're smartphones, but yeah. Anyway, I got one, and it came real close to getting thrown through the window out in the parking lot.
Yeah, you can do that.
I tried to help him, but I couldn't.
Came real close to being smashed on the bricks on the hearth in front of the fireplace a couple of times. But I'm making a little bit of progress on it. It's just unbelievable how screwed up these things are, how non-intuitive they are and everything. But, you know, it is what
Dave,
it is. I ended up
I love you to
one.
Death, but there's nothing wrong with smartphones. I will tell you what I tell my beloved wife of 35 years. It's 100% operator error, period.
Absolutely.
I use one every day, 12 hours a day, never have any problems.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't help it either because I know how to do the few things I use my phone for, which is very few. And beyond that, I don't know what it does. I don't want all those features. I don't use all those features. I don't know where stuff is in it or how to find it.
It's hilarious, it didn't do me any good. Yeah.
Well, that's the same with me. Now, you know, like Jesse, you and I talked when you were here. You know, Jesse and I was Jesse was here about 4 weeks ago, and I had a chance to sit down with Jesse for about 2.5 hours one afternoon at the In-N-Out here. We had lunch and we had a lot of talking over a lot of things. Yeah, that was a good time.
You should have had Jesse set up your phone.
Well, he didn't have it.
I didn't have it. I just got my phone last Friday.
That is poor planning.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I did that strictly because I was not able to do what I needed to do with one of my with one trading account, and then I had to be able to set up two-factor authentication for another one, which I haven't done yet, and I haven't even set it up for the Bittrex account. But I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. I actually understand a couple things.
Well, like I said, Dave, you have any issues?
Other than
call.
Well, this is. You're using a iPhone, aren't you?
No, sir. I hate iPhones with a passion.
Oh, okay. So yours is
what
an
you
Android.
Have?
Straight up Samsung Galaxy, and the Galaxy that I'm using is a Galaxy. It's the latest and the greatest. S 21 or something pad. Like I just got it.
I was going to say S 350 or something.
350 what? That phone's like 1350.
Oh, S 350. The numbers keep going up. You know.
Yeah, it's
like the iPhone. When are they going to have the iPhone 43 out? You know.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
I need it. It really helps me in business communication.
Well,
emails.
Yeah. See,
I mean, you know,
your situation is totally different than mine, of course. And I observed you using your phone for things and showing me a lot of stuff that was on your phone when you were here and everything. But for somebody that is new, has not had a smartphone. It's the dumbest phone you ever saw in your life. But
yeah, well, Dave, I've had one for 4 years, and I still don't know. So
yeah, okay.
No,
well, anyway, the whole thing is, I do have one. I have made some progress. I actually got it fixed up, so it's operating on my Wi-Fi on my landline here. So I'm able to do all my internet stuff with that, but it's going to be kind of interesting. And Jesse's talking about, you know, how there's a lot of people buying Bitcoin. Yes, there are. I'm going to be buying some more. But I'm buying.
Banks are all over.
I'm going to be buying some more. Yeah. Well, tomorrow I'm picking up some vet. So.
Gotcha. That's what I told you. That's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, things have gotten settled down around here. I've been out of the hospital about 6 weeks. I'm doing well. I've actually started walking again, and I'm not doing my full 2.5 miles that I have, but I am walking, and it doesn't seem to really tire me out. I'm just taking it, you know, shorter walks right now. I'm going to work and build up. And right now the heat is a big thing here. It's just humidity in the heater too much. So I'm dealing with that, and I've gained about 11 pounds since I was in the hospital. I lost 31 pounds when I was sick. So I've gained about a third of that back. And I can gain a few more pounds, and that'll be fine. But I'm eating good. In fact, some days I tend to overstuff myself, but at least food tastes the way it's supposed to now. So, you know, I've made good progress. The first couple weeks out of the hospital were pretty rugged, but since then things have really kicked into gear. I've been doing a bunch of stuff with the water and all that stuff. So anyway, that's good. I don't have any legal stuff going on, as most of you know, and for those that may not know it, the Midland stuff all got settled. I'm paid, and I took about 280 pounds of Midland paperwork to the dumpster. 280 pounds. Because I measured how much I was putting in the box when I was carrying it to the dumpster several weeks ago, and it was 20 pounds at a time, and I made 14 trips. I mean, it was just absolutely wild. I've got so much more room around here. And,
that's a lot of Midland garbage, man.
That's a lot of paperwork, believe me. I looked at some of that stuff, and I was like, oh, my God, I remember this. Because, see, I fought every case individually, taking it to the MDL. So I had a bunch of paperwork for all that. It wasn't just the cases in the federal court. I went round and round with the judicial panel on multi-district litigation many, many times, you know, tons of times. They always moved my cases, but I fought every one of them. I didn't lay down. But, you know, that stuff's all gone. Got something out of it. Not near as much as I wanted to, should have, what have you. But it is what it is. And we move on. So,
that's all you can do, my friend.
Well, exactly. That's what you do. You know, life goes on, so to speak. So anyway, if we have anybody that's got any good news for us tonight, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll raise your hand, and we'd be more than happy to take your good news and see what you've got going on. And if anybody's got a question, you can also hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. And as we've said so many times, you know, we're only doing calls once a month now because we're waiting for the hammer to drop. There isn't as much litigation going on right now, so there aren't as many people involved in things. We understand that. And, you know, we're not going to come on here and just sit here and talk about anything and everything every week. Right now the calls are curtailed. At such time as the demand picks up, then we will pick up and we'll go from there. But that's the situation we're in right now. Does Jesse or Larry or Terry have anything that they want to add?
No, I have not had a case myself in a long time. So, you know, I'm still working on the other foreclosure deal for the other place, but that's it really. You know.
No, only good thing going on here is it stopped raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, when you've had a bunch of that, that's a nice thing. Right. Yeah, we've had some scattered rain and stuff here, but and actually our temperatures have been running below average, which is just fine. That helps on electricity usage stuff, but overall we're just holding our own, doing our things. You know, we're talking just a couple of minutes ago about how things are kind of quiet. Where I live here, the last couple of years, I've had some pretty wild times with the wrong kind of people around here. But I'll tell you what, it is quiet, 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 quiet around here. And it's pleasant. It really is very pleasant to have that, because when you get into a cycle where you get some undesirables and you start getting a lot of just everything under the sun, you know, a lot of noise, loud music in the cars at 1 o'clock in the morning and, you know, stuff like that. We had a lot of that a couple of years ago, but evidently that has cycled out and things have quieted down around here, but it's almost been exceptionally quiet. And I'll take it now. Whether that's part of, you know, what's going on out here, maybe we're dealing with the calm before the storm. Yeah, well, the calm before the storm.
Right.
You know, that could manifest in a lot of different ways. But,
probably,
you know, there's only one way to find out, and that's just wait. I was amazed to see some of the stuff that's going on around the world. I'll give a few minutes here to see if anybody else wants to join us and come in with questions, because nobody raised their hand for a question. So we'll just go on and see if anybody joins us. If not, then we'll get out of here. But you look around the world at what's going on.
We might have a couple of new people on the call, and they might not realize what they need to push to raise their hand.
I'll announce. I'll announce. I will announce. If you've looked at anything, and, of course, I don't look at mainstream media. I look at real news, real information.
Real news, yep.
I've been doing that for 10 years, at least 10 years. But a lot of bad stuff starting to happen in South Africa. Last I saw, 32 people dead there, and the riots and the looting and all the stuff they're having there.
Yeah.
And then the more interesting thing and closer in is what's going on in Cuba.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
My parents are Cuban.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, And, you know a lot about that, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. They're shutting off the internet down there. It's gone off for substantial periods of time. And of course, the news media here is saying, well, the problem in Cuba is they're upset and protesting because they don't have enough COVID vaccines.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Could be further
if you speak
from
Spanish
the
like I do and you watch the videos on YouTube, you'll see that they're saying, these sons of bitches are starving us to death. There's no food.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No work. There's no medicine. There's nothing. They're not a word about a vaccination anywhere.
I second that, Jesse. I've seen some of those clips, too. And they're
yeah, and I speak Spanish, so exactly.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And I understand better than I speak it. So I'm listening to that, and I'm like, what? They didn't say anything like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, but here again, when you listen to the news media here, the mainstream media, it's nothing but lies. You couldn't begin to find the truth in anything they say. So anything that I see that, has come from any kind of a mainstream or a corporate media outlet, virtually, I don't believe any of it. I take it for granted that it has to be completely wrong, has to be a lie, has to be an agenda behind
it. It's unbelievable, buddy.
And people have to they have to get themselves on the mindset where they understand that instead of taking this stuff in. You know, anybody that still listens to CNN and MSNBC, well, all you're doing is feeding yourself poison. You why don't you go out and eat some rat poison? It's because you're not getting any truth. You're getting a corporate agenda. And you're doing yourself a lot of harm because if you think, oh, well, I just watched to see what's there. No, it affects your thought processes. If you listen to that and you keep hearing that, it warps your mind, it changes your thought processes, and the way that you recognize the reality of what's around you. It doesn't allow you to recognize the real reality. They're trying to keep you in their own little bubble world of what they want you to think about and consider and make decisions on. But that's gonna be changing.
That's
over
why
time.
It's called programming,
right? Indoctrination. Okay, we have somebody with a hand up. We're gonna go to area code 813. And as soon as
Hello,
the board moves, there we go.
Hello, this is Diane Wright.
We can barely hear you.
I can't hear her.
You're extremely low volume.
Is it better?
That's a little better.
Can you hear
if
me
you
better?
Could do a little more, that'd be good.
Okay, let me see. Can you hear this any better here?
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, better than it was, yeah.
Okay, I'll try to speak up really loud also. I have a debt collector that has found me after about 10 years, and it was, I'm from Tampa, and I had a second home that I had purchased in 2008 and ended up having to short sell it in 2010. It is the HELOC of the short sell that has erupted here, and it was... They were real-time resolutions, and they sold to Specialized Home Service, SPS.
Right.
And they're coming as though they, I have a mortgage and the whole thing. And so I did send a debt validation letter, but I can't remember what the laws were in Florida at the time, because I know... If a HELOC didn't come after you within the first year or first 2 years, then they couldn't come after you.
I've never heard of such a thing because the cases in Florida in particular, they have as long as they want to now to come after you, which is absolutely absurd. So they can say last month, for instance, was your default date.
Okay, so, but I sold the home in a short sale, and wasn't there, like, helping?
Well, they have X amount of time. Yeah.
Okay, but that was in 2010 that the home was sold. So
well, they're asked out. I'm sorry, I don't want to say that like that, but they're asked out. 2010, they can't come back at you now.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations is so far past that, it's ridiculous.
So in my debt validation letter, that's what I wrote. I, because they did the thing where they went from real-time resolutions to SPS, and they said they're going to take over the servicing of the mortgage, which I hadn't had, you know, since I sold the home. And I guess, and one of the questions I asked, besides, you know, give me the name of the original owner of this, and well,
yeah,
and I want to see the last statement and all of that. Well, they did send me the copy of the mortgage at the time that I have thrown away since then, but it's a copy of the HELOC at the time that we took out the HELOC. That we got the mortgage and the HELOC same time, and they sent me something else. But I specifically asked if this account is in the statute of limitations, let me know and tell me how you came upon the conclusion of if it is and isn't. And none of that did they send me. They just
of course
they don't have to.
Yeah,
they don't
yeah,
have to.
Yeah, they're not going to have to.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do I – so they can still come after me in writing, but they can't, you know, get a –
correct. They can ask you for the next 25 years.
Okay. And can they, but, they can,
but they can't bring
they can't
a court
call
action.
Me. Right. They can't bring a court action is what I think. But I think they also can't call me if I stipulated that you can only contact me by writing.
Correct.
Okay. So all of this paperwork they keep sending, even though if I tell them, you know, this is way beyond the statute of limitations and, you know, you should come after me.
Go pound sand.
But I couldn't remember – in Florida when that Helping Families Save Their Home, we had a special thing going on where that would get, the second would just have to go away. You didn't even have they didn't have a chance to do a court action. Is that correct?
I don't think so.
No, they always had like a year that they could come after you?
No, I don't know anything about a year's time. That's why I said you keep referring back to that. I don't know of any statute of limitation that would stop them from coming after you via mail. Now, they can't take you to court. They can't do anything, but they can do that for 35 more years. Doesn't matter.
Okay. No, I'm just saying now. I just wanted to be reassured by you guys that they can't do a court. I can't get a judgment against me. This has
been,
no,
it's too late.
Know,
it's been 11 years.
12 years.
2010,
yeah.
11, yeah.
12 years. Yeah.
Way too much.
If you choose to put their stuff in the trash can, you can.
Okay, and I will, but they can still keep sending it to me for the next 25, 35
sure.
years, correct? Okay.
And you don't even have to open it if you don't want to.
yeah. Okay. Well, do I have any type of legal recourse if they do keep doing this and they're beyond the statute of limitations? They have to actually do a court action against me, correct?
To violate the law, they would have to do a court action.
Okay.
Right.
Sending
okay.
you the stuff, like Jesse said, if they just keep sending it to you for the next 35 years, that's no violation of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act or the FCCPA, which is the Florida statute.
Right. Okay, good. I thought they were beyond the statute of limitations. Okay. So that's one run-in I've had this past month. But this past week, we're in the process of getting a condominium in Tampa. And we were under review by the Homeowners Association and the Condominium Association. And they ran a tenant rental check. It was a branch of TransUnion. It's called TransUnion Tenant Rental Screening. And all they ran, because I have, my husband has a credit score of 815. I have 810. They didn't run that. I mean, they ran like a social thing on me. And they look up criminal things and evictions and that kind of stuff. Well, I came back with four or five narcotics convictions and shoplifting and theft. And so I was
You really are a boring person, aren't you? 10 or 12. Holy crap, you're slow.
And I have always, I've always followed things. I've moved to Georgia for the year when I'm going back to Tampa. But the, I in public records, you know, I had nothing like that. So I asked them, what did they use? And they just used my first and last name. They said they used my birthday, but when I started looking further, no.
But still, how many people have your name on that same birth date? Hundreds, most likely.
It wasn't even the birth day, it was the birth year. So they didn't use any other identifying factors. And so I said, you know, run it with my maiden name, because this is crazy. And they said, no, you really have to file a dispute with TransUnion, and then you...
Right.
So I started that route. I called, and this TransUnion tenant screening still is different than TransUnion. So I called them, and the first thing he says to me is, we are not responsible, because I said, you've got this wrong person here. And I went on and on, and he goes, we're not responsible. That you would need to sue the people who furnished the information. I said, I don't need to, I just want this corrected. This is
Let me correct something right there. Okay. BS. If they are issuing reports, doesn't matter where they get their information, even if they're buying it from an aggregator, like LexisNexis or something, it does not matter. If they are furnishing reports, they come under the title of a credit reporting agency, and they are liable under the FCRA. They absolutely are.
They're liable to investigate, correct?
Absolutely. Under 1681 IA.
I need to write that down because I was looking, reading the whole FCRA and couldn't find that, but I knew that, you know, your case had a lot to do with that and whatever. Well, so anyway, this went back and forth because it was a property management company that ran the screening, and then they take that to the condominium board, the condominium association. So I actually looked up this name that was mine where they said I had all the narcotics convictions in Georgia, and it didn't have my birthday, it didn't have any, it had the first and last name were the same, but the race was different. Everything was, and there was no address that was similar to anything I'd had in Florida or Georgia. It was very, very obvious that this was not me. So I had, in order to deal with it, I had a realtor run screening on a more reputable company that it all came back clean. But I still had to defend this thing. I mean, I was the way they were treating me is I was guilty until I could prove my innocence. And
That's typical.
It was just, I was appalled. I was so disgusted by it. I was ready to say, you know, just take your condo and screw it. And it finally got resolved. And indeed, TransUnion writes me back in the email. They didn't call me. They said it's going to take 30 days. And I told them, you take 30 days to correct this and I lose the condo. And they didn't really seem to care. But they got back with me in like 48 hours, and they said, and they took it all off, and they just said, this is a corrected. So there's, I really have no recourse now, because at first they told me that if that was there on my record, that I'd have to go sue the court system and all this other stuff first. Now, when they came back with this written thing, they just said, this is what we got on you, and they didn't have anything. And so now I have no recourse under the FCRA anyway because they just took it off. Is that
right.
correct?
Correct.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. Well,
yep.
they did. And they,
rather than doing a proper investigation, they resolved it by eliminating it. And unfortunately, that gets them off the hook.
Well, absolutely, because it was not me. And it was really obvious. If you just, I couldn't believe
this
that the person.
This happens all over the country every day.
There's a well-known case. It was Miller versus, God, I can't remember the name of this. It was an outfit like what you're talking about, background check for rental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this case, it went all the way to a circuit court, and this Miller guy, he ended up with a very good settlement out of it, and they really stuck it to him. For doing that sort of thing. They went even further than what happened to you. But I've got to look in my records and see if I can find that. Miller. Miller was the guy's name, and I can't remember the company. But they can be held accountable, the first company that did that. Now, TransUnion, as TransUnion Credit Reporting, if they removed it out of your credit file, they're off the hook. But if they're subsidiary or,
subsidiary of TransUnion, and they're called TransUnion Tenant Screening something or another.
Okay.
But they are part of TransUnion.
All right. Well, if they're claiming to be a separate entity, you know, they do this and that's their job. It's just like Encore Capital Group and their redheaded stepchildren. When they claim to be a separate entity doing a separate kind of job or report or whatever, TransUnion Credit Reporting does not get them off the hook. Okay, they need to prove that they investigated, that they found it to be false, and then corrected and issue a corrected report. They are still liable.
Okay. Okay, well, somehow, somewhere, they came back with a corrected report. So they just, I guess they realize they were at fault. I don't know exactly.
Well, somebody decided to look at things and found that there was a problem and they wanted to get rid of it because somebody was giving them a hard time.
Right.
That's what it boils down to.
They could see you weren't going to just go away.
In my research, I found an article of companies. They've cropped up all over these companies because, you know, the rental market is so strong. They just run these algorithms, and they try to capture the reason why they choose a first and last name and no other parameters is because they can capture more things in there. And they send it to these landlords who are like, oh, well, that one's got – and like your credit, they have to tell you, you know, you can get your credit report. It came from your credit report, blah, blah, blah. But this, they don't even have to tell you why they have denied you. And in this article that I read, these companies are so abusive. It's usually people
but
that are
kind of
like,
but you know what? If you're wrong about that, though, they're telling you they don't have to. But they absolutely do have to. They, because of their actions and the nature of their business, the purpose of their business, they absolutely are considered to be a credit reporting agency, regardless of how they're doing it. And as such, they are subject to every section of the FCRA and liable for every action they take, the same as or TransUnion, Equifax, or Experian.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're telling you they don't have to, but they do have to.
Yeah, yeah. But from this article that I read, it's mainly people who are kind of like living on the edge anyway. They're just looking for some type of affordable housing. And a couple of them in this article, they had like gotten to the top of the list on public housing. And then when they finally were reviewed there, they were sent to this tenant screening and they were denied. So now they, you know, one man had to live in his car with this little girl for a year. It's, and they don't even have the wherewithal to understand that they can, you know, go after people. And does the FCRA have fee sharing or you can't, or not? I know the FCRA.
Well, they aren't educated. They aren't educated. They don't know that that opportunity exists.
Exactly.
But that's all intentional. That's why they never teach anybody that, and nothing in schools or anything.
Right. You know, do you remember, everybody might remember Teresa Ramirez, okay? Now, that case just got settled this past month, and it happened, oh, goodness, Dave, what, 5-6 years ago? It happened where Teresa Ramirez, and now you got to realize in the Hispanic community, the name Teresa Ramirez, there's probably a thousand of them in each state. It is so common.
Right.
It's like John Smith, you know, in the Hispanic community. So what happened was the TransUnion, no, it was AT&T. AT&T labeled her as a suspected domestic terrorist based on somebody else's name because there was a Teresa Ramirez on the no-fly list. And so then every time she tried to, like, rent something, buy a car, do any kind of business, they used it against her and refused her credit based on the fact that she was on this terrorist list. Well, she was able to prove that it wasn't her, and they refused to take her off. Well, that took 5 or 6 years to finally get, you know, relief for her. But
and
she didn't let go.
I remember that.
I read about people doing that, but a lot of them don't know to do that, and they're just, like, stumbled over, and they're, you know, it's appalling. And these companies, actually, it's so easy to do. They don't have to be – they can just pop up and say that they're this company. If they have a computer and they have the right algorithms, they can charge to run these screenings. And so, anyway, everybody just pointed the finger down the road, and I'm fine. I came out of it, but I just – found uncovering this, I found it absolutely appalling that they're just stomping all over those that don't know how to look after themselves. They're just trying to get some affordable housing. It's really, really, and you're right, the Hispanic community is even worse because they only have like 36 names that keep getting recycled. They use them, you know, they might have two last names or something, but they have a really hard time.
Yeah. Well, this situation you're talking about there is why we've been doing this for 10 years. Free of charge.
Exactly.
To help people.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're out there. But I've been listening to you for quite a while, 2011 or whatever, 10. But
a long time, girl.
It is a long time. A lot has happened in that time. But it's
that's
left me with a base. It's left me with a baseline of knowledge and skill that when that came, both of these things that happened this week, when they came up, I was just, you know, it ruffled my feathers, and I knew to not just cow down. I knew there was a lot of resources that I could go to and defend myself, which I give you guys credit for that.
Well, you're the one that learned it.
Thank
we
you.
Helped provide the information, but you're the one that took the time and the effort to learn about that so you knew how to deal with it. And that's what's most important.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm done. Thanks for I figured that they could continue to send me papers and stuff for the next 25 years, but
right.
You're right.
A lot of people miss.
I can just put it in the
a lot
particular file.
a lot of people misunderstand what's the statute of limitations in this context means. And the statute of limitations in the context of the consumer protection statutes, and this in particular, it applies only to how long they have to pursue legal remedy. And it only applies to legal remedy. So if the statute of limitations is, like North Carolina, 3 years, they've got 3 years to pursue collection through the courts, to litigate on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not apply to their ability to try to collect in any other way, only in pursuit of legal remedy. That's what the statute of limitations pertains to.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a good example of the... Go ahead, and then I'll close my...
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention a situation just in the last 2 weeks here. My buddy that used to, we lived together for a little while when things were tight around 2008 in that area, and he is up taking care of his 96-year-old mother up in Oklahoma City. He's been doing that for the last, 10 years. And I get his mail at the post office here, and anything important, I just open it up, scan it, and send it to him. And then when he gets down here, he picks it up. So anyway, I get to see some of his mail. Well, a couple weeks ago, I got his mail, and there was a letter in there from a familiar name. Investment Retrievers, which is a junk debt buyer. And I opened it up, and it was a collection letter, of course, you know, offering him a really good deal. You need to get a hold of us right away, so on and so forth. Well, these are the junk debt buyers. a credit card that he had 14 years ago had a balance about 10 grand on it, is now up to $64,000.
Oh, my.
And they're trying to collect it. Now, you know, these guys probably bought that for about $1.40. And, you know, they'll spend several dollars to send some mail to him and stuff. And it was just hilarious to read this because I know about his situation. I helped him go through all the stuff, you know. And but that gives you an idea what's still floating around out here with people trying to collect it. And all it takes is one person that they contact that they can scare somehow and get somebody to make a promise of payment or make a payment to restart that statute of limitations, and away they go. So, I mean, here's something from 14 years ago, and 10,000 went to 64,000. So, the crap is out there.
Way beyond any state statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, mine was a debt collector, sold to a debt collector, and I'm sure they buy it pennies on the dollar because when it woke up, they sent to me the original mortgage was like, the HELOC was like 140, and now they say, with interest and penalties and stuff, I now owe $386,000, and they would be glad to work out a payment plan with me. But they're sending me, like, monthly mortgage statements. So it's got that $386,000 as a baseline, and then they add all of the interest and principal and penalties on that.
They're just hoping they're going to intimidate you into trying to make a deal with them to restart that statute of limitations. That is exactly what they're up to.
Yeah, yeah. So would it be wise of me just to say, look, this is beyond the statute of limitations. I don't plan on ever paying it, so just leave me alone. Sell it to another guy down the road.
I wouldn't tell them anything. I wouldn't even have a conversation with them.
Hell no.
Then you know
I definitely
you're not
wouldn't have a
trouble.
Conversation.
No.
Yeah, because if you even talk to them on the phone and they ask you, let's say, just a question like,
wow, is it nice and sunny at where you are today? And you say, well, yeah. Okay, now they've got you recorded saying yes, and they can doctor that recording to make it sound like you agreed that that's your debt and you owe it. And don't think for a minute that they don't pull crap like that.
I can believe that.
Because you're not recording.
Yeah. The best the best thing you can do is not communicate.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't plan on it. I just wanted confirmation that all was well. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great evening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. We've got another hand up, and I'm going to tell everybody, you know, if you're on the line and you've got a question for us, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, because when we run out of people, we're going to run out of time, and we've got other things we can do. So let's go to 201. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey. Hi, Terry and Dave.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, it's so good to hear both of your voices. This is Brian and Kim.
Oh, like we couldn't guess.
To hear both of you together. And you sound so wonderful. It's just old times. Okay, so we're going to bring up an old time problem. Okay, Brian, let's start.
Okay, this is about the that dump truck that we had. The
The repo?
Yes, the repo. Okay,
mm-hmm.
What's happening is when we went to with the arbitration, and of course we had Kim had went previously at least two or three times to try to get all of the paperwork from the court. They only gave her what they said they had, which was no exhibits. Went back a few times to try to get everything for exhibits and stuff. They didn't have anything. Now, at the arbitration, they popped up with exhibits. Okay? So we had sent in the paperwork that you had told us about, saying that they it was the due process. So now
we have a hearing.
Yeah, now we have a hearing coming up, right? And now he's saying we're supposed to come up with some numbers about this.
Who is saying that?
Nobody said that.
What did he say?
Well, no, that's not how it went. When we was in arbitration, the arbitrator said that this is one of the most difficult things to argue, because you don't have the numbers, what you think the truck was worth and what they're saying you owe. And you have to come back. If you don't come up with no numbers, then how can you make a fair judgment? So we filed, because the reason why we filed is just know that since there was never any exhibit, we didn't have anything to work with to go to fight against the claim of the amount. It was always about the amount. We did not.
Right. You don't know how they're coming up with those figures.
Okay, what were those exhibits supposedly? Well, you said they came up with them at the arbitration. What information was on those that they had not given you previously? What kind of information?
It was the contract, the signed contract. It was invoices without any interest on them still. So they claimed was the 12%, whatever that wasn't on it. But they had the invoice, the contract, and the questions that we answered in actually what we call it, the discovery. So we had those papers in the exhibits that we didn't even know was even there.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm confused. I'm confused on what you just said. I'm confused. You you were talking about, we were talking about what they popped up out of the middle of nowhere and presented at the arbitration. So they, that was the copy of the contract, the invoices, and that was it, or what else?
No, that was it.
And her, their answers to discovery.
Well, the answer to discovery was not filed.
Okay. Well, here again, let's not run around in circles. I'm trying to get specifics. What did they present at arbitration that they had not given you, that you had asked for and tried to get from the court?
Okay. So in the exhibits, let me say it this way then, because you said it that way. On the complaint, they say they filed complaint exhibit A, B, C, D, E. They presented exhibit A, B, C, D, E, which was, again, a contract, an invoice, because it was pieces of the contract, because, you know, it was broken down. And that's what they presented. That
so, like, C, D, and E were individual pieces of the contract?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, but the court said that none of that was on the docket. None of that was part of the case.
I understand that. You'd asked for it multiple times, and they then all of a sudden, magically at arbitration, they show up with it. And, of course, both of you protested saying, wait a minute, we've tried to get that, and it wasn't available. The court didn't have it. So you're telling the arbitrator that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then where did things go from there in the arbitration?
Well, he's saying that because the numbers that they produced and we couldn't dispute that because
wait a minute. The numbers they produced, that they produced some numbers for the arbitration that was outside of those discovery documents then, right?
Yes, basically they were outside of
about my question for a minute. Stop and think of what I'm saying here. They presented more information to the arbitrator than what was in the exhibits and stuff that you never got. Is that correct or not correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so they gave you some other stuff, or gave the arbitrator some other things. What were those items that they gave the arbitrator? Outside of that discovery stuff,
they had a saying, like a bill saying, this is what we actually owe after the monies that were paid for the truck that was auctioned off, right? So
weren't
so
they required to provide that information to you before arbitration?
Yes, they provided.
Did they do so?
On the CD, it was all the stuff was on the CD, you know. So we had to go through it to find out what was going on. And like you were saying before, like we don't know what's, if it's a virus or anything on the CD instead of, you know.
Yeah.
So now, the way the numbers were on the that they had produced. Now, if we were to pay out every month, it would all come up to the numbers that they had. But they didn't take away. See, what my dispute is that if there was a lump sum payment, then they can't add the interest on top of the lump sum payment. So that means that they have to, you know, if there's no prepayment penalty, and like if you were to pay your house off early and you paid a lump sum down, they can't charge you for interest for every month, even if you pay a lump sum. You know what I'm saying? So this is what how they
well, have yeah, if you paid a lump sum on the truck, but they're wanting to charge you interest on it and put that in the paperwork, correct?
On the whole amount, yeah.
On the whole, right, on the whole amount, as if it was, as if you paid out every month for 5 years.
Well, then what you've got to do is you've got to go back and put together the figures on what they're charging you for the whole time, but when there was a lump sum payment, you need to be able to figure that and what the interest is that they're saying you owe on lump sum payment amount, which is incorrect, and then you've got to be able to produce those figures. You just got to do your math.
Right. You have to be able to show that they are attempting, excuse me, to charge interest on more than the balance owed.
Exactly.
But you have to do the figures. You have to do that math and come up with that to be able to show them.
Right.
Okay. So when we go to court, which is next month, do we have to send anything prior to that? Do we have to send it to the court?
You
got to
look at your rules. You got to look at your rules and see what the deals are there. You know, you go back to the rules. The rules run everything.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, if you're going to court to, you know, what did the arbitrator say? You know, you got done with the arbitrator. So what did the arbitrator say?
The arbitrator had said when it came to the exhibit. When we told him there was no exhibits, he said, well, they're here now. And I said to him, look, we just swore on an oath that there were no exhibits, and I have names here and clerks that also said there were no exhibits. And so he says, well, they're here now. And then we said to him, how can you make a judgment when we didn't even see the exhibits? He said, well, didn't you know about it? Did we know about what? Well, about the loan. That has nothing to do with the loan. We want to know what the price he's talking about. And then he proceeded to say, well, if you know there's, since you don't have any information for me to see and verify your numbers with his numbers, I have to rule in their favor. And then he proceeded
to
say
that. Which was set up from the get-go.
That's a corrupt arbitrator.
Absolutely.
I wish I could have had my recorder, but then he proceeded to say it was 15%. I'm like, wait a minute. So this lawyer is asking for almost $23,000. I'm like, how can you get that number? Where do you get that number from? Well, and he was to say, well, 15% of that, and that's the law. I'm like, what law?
15%, it was 12%, it was 8%. So you're adding all those percentages up on top of each other, and you come up with this number. And I'm like, whoa.
And it was so sad because they were so chummy. He talked about how's the family.
Yeah.
We're good seeing you. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, we're lost.
I'll see you on you know, at the golf range. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. What's going on? So,
they were really, you know what's going on.
You go
to the court and you tell them there was obvious bias, chummy behavior exhibited between the attorney for the other side and the arbitrator.
And it was an obvious conflict of interest. In no way, shape, or form was it an
impartial third party.
No. No due process and no impartiality. And he should have recused himself to begin with because he had an obvious prior relationship and an adverse, major conflict of interest.
Exactly.
You can quote me on that.
Wow. So then how do we present that? Is that a, that's a notice? Or
you can't prevent it, but you're going to want to make that argument to the court when you go to the court.
Yeah, I was saying how
exactly
do
what
you
I
say
guess,
prevent or present?
Present.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got to make those arguments to the court.
Okay, but we,
that the arbitration was a farce, was an obvious farce on its face due to the obvious friendly relationship between the attorney for the other party and the arbitrator. He ignored the fact that you never were provided the other documents, which was material to the case in all manner, and he showed bias
presented.
And prejudice in his decision.
So it comes down to inadmissible evidence provided in a extra judicial procedure outside the court and not previously in the case or on the docket.
Mm. Wow. Now, I'm looking
and
at
you know what I would do? I just thought of something.
Please.
What I would do is I would go down to the court now and ask them again if you can get copies of those exhibits and take a witness with you. And if they say, well, we don't have that, it's not here, then it shows that it was deliberate and that the other side did not file those exhibits with the court. Because they still, at this late date, after arbitration, doesn't have it. Well, the point is that corroborates your argument, the fact that you went to the court multiple times before and they weren't there. Well, the arbitrator all of a sudden has them in his hands. It was supposedly given by the other side. But then now, here after those proceedings, you go and the court still says, oh, we don't have those. They're not part of the case.
Right. The arbitrator had them in his hands and rendered a decision based upon them.
Yeah.
But Dave and Terry, when we were sitting there, he opened the folder, and he had the exhibits in the folder. And then
his
he
folder?
Right. But that same folder, he brought that downstairs. We had to sit there and wait for him to make a judgment, right? We sat there and waited for his judgment. He wrote the papers out. And then he came down to where we were sitting with the folder. And then he handed us a copy of the exhibit. Because I asked for it. He said, well, I said, there was never exhibits. He said, would you like a copy? I'm like, yes, I would like a copy. And so while we were waiting,
it still has to be entered into the docket.
Yeah, what you're not understanding about what I'm suggesting is, if you go down and ask the court for them, shouldn't they be there if they were provided properly? Yeah. But
right,
argument can – well, listen to me. Your argument then can be, look, we told the arbitrator we didn't have them. Magically, he had them, but they weren't in the court record. We made multiple attempts to get copies of those. They were never provided to us by the counsel for the other side. And now on June or July 14th,
whatever,
we went down to the court again to get copies of these documents, only to find that the court clerks tell us they are not part of the record.
Official copy.
So the arbitrator is working in concert to defraud. He's working with the other side to defraud you because he had copies of them at the arbitration when you were unable to get them directly from the court because the court
material information not provided to you. beforehand.
I mean, you may go down. You may go down to the court. You may go down to the court and ask for them, and then all of a sudden they've got them. That's a possibility. But I'd venture a guess it's not a likely possibility, but you're not going to know unless you do it.
Right.
Yep.
So did I have a question? I'm glad you brought that up. If I go, when we go, we'll be going down to the court. You said bring a witness that.
Yeah, bring somebody else besides you that can
provide
an affidavit that you were, that you were there and requested that information on such and such a date, and they told you, I'm sorry, that we don't have any of that in the files. We can't provide that to you because we don't have it. And that person can then give you a sworn affidavit to take to the court. And look, Your Honor, they never sent it to us before. They said it was a these were exhibits to the lawsuit. We were never sent copies of them. We went to the court three times or whatever it was before the arbitration and everything, asked for copies. We were told by the court clerks there was nothing there. They could not provide us with anything that wasn't there. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, the arbitrator seems to have these documents. But now, after the arbitration, we go down and ask the clerk again with a witness if we can get copies of those from the record, and they say, I'm sorry, we don't have those. Well, how
not
is it
the record.
Then obviously the attorney from the other side and the arbitrator are in collusion because the other side provided them to the arbitrator to stick it to you in the arbitration when they're not part of the record, of the official record of the case to this date.
Yeah, that is in violation of the rules.
Oh, yeah. That's a major ethical situation there is what that is.
Yep.
Oh.
That will help support your arguments that there's a chummy relationship between the lawyer and the arbitrator. Oh, well, hey, you know, we'll go to the lake and we'll do this, you know.
And to take it one step further, David, if they go to that court and those are still not part of the record, they're still not in the court or part of the case, I think I would be moving for sanctions, not for me, but for the other side to have to pay to the court. That's a major discovery violation. And the courts don't like that kind of shenanigans. But you don't ask for sanctions that the court should make them pay you for what they did. They should have to, the court should levy a fine on them payable to the court for the attempt to circumvent discovery rules and break the,
And the rules of arbitration
The
rules of arbitration where this stuff's supposed to be disclosed. You know,
yeah,
you ask the other side for it. They
would.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I have two questions, and I thank you for that information. What happens if they do have the exhibits in the records?
Well, there's nothing
well,
you can
it's
do.
Gonna
and
have
you
to
know
have
that they're in there. When
right,
were they filed?
But that's
when
the
were
point.
They filed?
You, if they are in the record, you want a copy of the date they were entered into the record.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my question right there. Because don't they have to put a date when the exhibit was placed in the records?
Yeah,
yes.
They're file stamped. They're date stamped.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Huh.
And see
why
if those
you want
are date
copy
are,
from the court.
They should be date stamped the same day the complaint was filed because they were exhibits to it. But if here they are, or they're filed a year and a half later, well, that supports your arguments that they didn't do it and they weren't available before, but they happened to get filed later. Maybe even since the arbitration or maybe on
that
the day of the arbitration.
That proves your whole complaint against the arbitration. If the time stamp shows that they weren't even entered into the record, until after the arbitration, then that supports your claim that you were denied due process.
Right.
Nice. Because we're looking at these exhibits, the ones that the arbitrator gave us, and there's no time stamped on them. And
there should be a time stamp on there should be a time stamp on anything. It's an exhibit that was put in the court case. You know that as well.
Exactly. There has to be if it was done. If they were actually put in as exhibits with a complaint, they absolutely would have to have a time stamp on them because they're all put into the record at the same time, and the clerks run them at the same time.
Okay, so this is wonderful because I know when we work with you with federal, everything is time stamped. Every page has a stamp on it. And so that.
Now your state court may not have that on every page.
Well, at least one of the pages, at least.
Well,
yeah.
At least the front page. At least the front page. Yeah.
Right.
Like if an exhibit was four pages, the front page should have a stamp on it.
Because, see, those things, that's why they tell you not to use staples or fold them or anything like that, because they have to run them and scan them in to the system. So in order for, like, they get a complaint and it's got five pages of exhibits attached with the complaint, excuse me, on top, then the clerk has to stand there and scan each page in individually. And when she does that, that's when the stamp thing happens, you know, when it's getting scanned into the system. And it has to be individually, even if she's using a scanner that can, you know, feed several pages at a time, it still goes one page at a time into the machine, even if you can put the whole stack in there, you know. So anything that was filed on that day is going to show up on the docket on that day with that document.
Right. And the page numbers, because we
yes.
noticed that only page numbers was six pages. Now it's something like 40-something pages. All of a sudden, the pages numbers changed.
Yeah, that's a big change.
Big change. Okay. So then, all right, so we're going to go to the court, get this information to the clerk.
And you're just going to go in and ask for the exhibits to the complaint in case number 12345.
All right. But yet, in the meantime, we're still doing our homework because we're going to put our numbers together to validate these numbers they concocted.
Well, to contradict, not to validate, to contradict.
Thank you. To contradict.
I like the word concocted because they obviously did.
Right. But at the same time, we have a court date coming up. And we're going to look at our rules, but even if our rule says we have to file a motion or a notice, what is the term if that was the case? Motion to dismiss, motion something?
Well, no, you're long past the motion to dismiss. What is the hearing for? What is the hearing for?
Well, we have filed an appeal to the arbitrator. And
to the arbitration,
yes. And so now we have a judge. We have to go in front of a judge now to hear our case.
Okay, but again, I'm going to ask you specifically, what is that hearing for? They don't just say, we're going to have a hearing. A hearing for
it's a good idea.
Hearing on, you know, trial or hearing on defendant's motion for, you know,
whatever.
Appeal of arbitration or whatever. What is the hearing for?
I don't have the letter in front of me. I've been sitting here looking for it this whole time. And I'm so
here again. It's those reading details.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
What are you going to court for?
I got to wait till Thursday.
It might say trial is set for August whatever, or hearing on plaintiff's appeal of the arbitration award or whatever it is, but it's a hearing for blank.
I'll be back on Thursday call with the information.
Well.
What? Okay, and thank you. And you're right. I wasn't prepared for that. But thank you. I will have the letter and go over it. But tomorrow I will go over to the court and get some information.
Take a witness so that person can state, yes, I accompanied so-and-so to the court at such and such an address, arriving at approximately 10:30 a.m., where so-and-so made a request of the clerk for copies of the exhibits that were filed as a part of the original complaint in case number 12345. And, that's what the affidavit should say, something to that effect. And, the clerks informed so-and-so that they did not have any copies of those documents. Oh, really? But see, that's the way you do that.
Thank you. Lesson learned. I'm always learning. Thank you,
okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what we're here for.
Welcome back. You sound great. It's so good to hear you both doing what you do to help us, to help each other. Appreciate you both. And we'll talk on Thursday. All right?
Okay. All right. Talk to you later. All right. We've got another hand up here. Let's go to 630. 630, you've been unmuted.
Hello.
Hello.
Dave?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Hi, Dave, Terry, it's Dinah. We talked last week in regards to that summon that I attended. Okay,
yes.
So I got good news. I did attend the Zoom call, and there was a lot of people that this third-party debt collector was actually had a case with all of them, and because like over half of them before they reached to me, they didn't show up, so all those people got defaulted, which I was very surprised that happened. But when it was my turn, I mentioned that I denied all the claims made in this lawsuit. And when I was halfway of telling them that I sent a formal request for this information, the judge automatically said, okay, we'll have, they want to have another court date of October 1st. And then that was it. So it was quick, like you said, for this first, for the introduction, the appearance.
Right.
So my question is, since I already sent them a letter, to get that information from them. They have not sent anything to me back yet.
No.
Do I? I don't know what next.
You need to start learning about discovery and get some discovery sent to them immediately, if not sooner.
Discovery? Okay.
Yeah, and see, you don't have any idea what that is, do you?
No, I do not. I mean,
I read a
little bit about it, but I don't know in details of that.
Okay. Are you a member of the website?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You go in there, and you look in the beating credit card section, I believe. You find John's episodes. He did a bunch of webinars on discovery. John's very, very, very good at discovery.
Okay.
You want to go in there and you want to go through those and learn. And watching them one time, you're not going to get it. You're going to want to watch those at least two or three times. And there's several of them.
Of his.
So if you do a search in the website for that, even if you just search under the word discovery, that might help you find him.
Okay.
But it should be under the beating credit card section, I believe.
Okay. So I am here on beating credit card section. Right now it's just showing a bunch of examples of documents, an example and resources. So I guess I have to look for ones that that John is presenting of discovery.
Yeah,
something
John.
Related to discovery.
It doesn't put him by name, but there's multiple webinars in there on discovery.
On discovery, okay,
yep.
So it's a webinar. Webinar, okay.
You need to start learning about it, and then you can come on the call on Thursday night.
Okay.
But this is not something you want to waste any time doing. You want to get up to speed, and you're going to want to get some discovery out to them.
Discovery out to them, okay. And that's different than sending them that letter of validation, right?
But it's got nothing to do with it. They're completely different things. Discovery is you're going to ask for them to admit certain things. You're going to ask for them to provide certain information. Production, so you have three sections. You have admissions. You have requests for production of documents and things. And you have, I can't think of the name of it. What's the other one, Terry? Anyway, there's three sections to that's what happens when you haven't done anything with
it. I'm sorry, I was muted.
Yeah.
You were forgetting interrogatories.
Interrogatories, right. Interrogatories, which is basically questions. You're asking them questions, and they have to answer them. And admissions is you're going through and you're saying, admit that such and such and so-and-so that you do not have or something like that, and they have to admit or deny it. And then there's production of documents. You're going to want to ask for certain documents and stuff. But you watch the webinar so you can understand some of why you're doing this and the background behind it. Discovery was, I will tell you, was very difficult for me.
Yeah,
it really
me too.
Was. That was one of the most difficult things out of all of the stuff that I had to learn. But John is extremely good. So
right, and it's really important not just that you understand what you need to seek, what you need to ask for, what questions you need to ask, what documents you need to demand, et cetera, but you need to know why you're asking for those things, how they benefit you. So, you know, discovery isn't just, well, I'm going to make them give me this and this and this and this. Well, why? How is that going to help your argument? You need to understand all that.
Yeah, and just to give you a little bit of an idea, is let's say you ask them for a certain thing. What effect on the case does it have on the case if they say they can't provide that? Okay, what effect does it have on the case if they do provide it? See, in discovery, you're going to find that you got to think about both sides of the coin, because sometimes you can put them in a bad spot by asking for something and them coming back and saying, we don't have that information. Oh, well, if it's something that's key to them winning their case, they've admitted right there they don't have it. And you can use that to get, you know, win your case. But if there's something, if there's something you think they don't have that is really important to the case, but then they do provide it, then it's like, oh crap! Well, they got the evidence of that. Darn! I was hoping they didn't have that. See what I mean? There's two sides to the coin. But you watch those.
Okay.
Watch those
but
webinars.
You have to find out.
Right.
There's two sides to that coin, but they're unknowns, and you need those answers.
Right. And this is one thing. You've got less than 90 days to deal with this. They've got, after they receive your request for discovery, they've got 30 days to answer it. Actually, they've got 33 days.
And you need to understand that if you fiddle part around and you wait too long to send your discovery, and that doesn't give them a full 30 days before the deadline, they don't have to answer you.
Right.
And the 30 days before the deadline, we're talking about the date of the court date, right? So that would be like October 1st.
30 days from when they receive your discovery.
Yeah. Let's say you mail out discovery on the 1st and they get it on the 3rd. They have 30 days plus 3 days mailing from that time to answer it. But if the end of your discovery period is on the 26th, well, that's only 26 days from, or less than 26 days from when they got it. They don't have to answer it. So the whole we're just trying to tell you, this isn't something that you can study for the next 2 or 3 weeks. This is something you're going to have to really jump on and study up on. And then we know you're going to have questions about it. We know that.
Yeah.
But you need to be doing some homework between now and Thursday. So when you come on Thursday, you can start asking us some questions about what you saw in the webinars about how that might relate to your case. And then we're going to have some questions for you. So have all your paperwork, you know, like the documents you were served with and stuff. Make sure you have all that handy. So if we ask you certain questions, you can give us specific answers. Okay? That's the best way for us to help you.
Okay.
Yep, what he said.
But as you can see, what I told you about what would happen in court was about as spot on as it could be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even, like I said, I didn't finish my second sentence about
That's
me
right.
sending them a letter. They just said, okay, October 1st. And I was like, okay.
I told you, let that
judge know that you were going to fight. That's all that judge needed to know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That you weren't going you weren't going to admit to anything, and there wasn't going to be any default on your case that day. But you see what most people do. You got a bird's eye view of what happens to 95% of the people that get sued over debts. 95% statistically don't show up, and they get judgments against them because they don't know
amazing.
How to fight.
I mean, all the information that you guys shared in your calls, and just, you know, actually attending something like that live and hearing, like I said, over half of the people didn't even show up through the Zoom call. They didn't even have to show their face. They could just call and
That's
just hear their voice.
But
and
they don't think that they can argue it. Well, yeah, I had the credit card. I didn't pay it, so screw me into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute.
Right.
There's more to the scenario than that. But
right.
That's the mindset of people that don't wake up and learn.
You know, we've said it a million times, but if you don't know what your rights are, then you don't have any.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's why I'm glad I was able to find you guys and able to listen before I attended the summons. So I knew what to expect and what to say for that initial appearance. So
obviously.
Yeah. Okay. So
you can tell we've kind of been through this a little bit before, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is nice because, you know, some people that you try to talk to, they tell you what to do, and then you're like, oh, well, have you ever experienced it? And they said no.
Yeah.
So then I'm like,
how
can you help me then?
You're telling me what to do, but you've never done it before. Now, wait a minute.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Then I'll start watching these webinars and stuff, and I'll try to see if I can get some questions for Thursday.
Okay. That's the way to do
it.
Okay,
thank
you. Talk to you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Well, that was pretty good.
Well, now we've got 201 back here. Did you have another question or not?
Yes, I do.
She's laughing.
I'm sorry. Okay, so I found the summons. I found the notice. Say it right, Kim. I found the notice of hearing. And this notice of hearing hereby advises that this case is scheduled as follows. And it says, matters for hearing, complaint on contract, breach of guarantee, motion to set aside judgment, file May 14, 21. Then it has a motion to compel, file September 14, and then it's cut off. So I went online. I'm at the court site because on our calendar, you can see the calendars, and I'm reading it, and what I'm reading is exactly what's printed out on this notice of hearing. And what I'm surprised, we never even knew there was a motion to compel filed September 14th, I guess, 2020.
Who filed that? They did?
I guess. We don't even have that.
That wasn't in the record either?
Did you do a motion to compel for anything, yes or no?
No.
Have you should have a copy if they filed a motion to compel for some reason and they sent you a copy, you should have a copy of it.
You're absolutely right.
Did they serve discovery on you that you didn't answer in time properly?
No.
Okay. Well, when you go to the court, you said you're going to go down to the court and find out if you can get, just ask for copies of those exhibits. Ask for a copy of that particular document, that motion to compel.
If you can't find where you've got
a copy, just go ahead and get a copy of that while you're there and see what it says.
Okay. Okay. So that's what this is all about. They want to go over the...
Well, it sounds like the court's going to cover everything. They're covering the complaint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at that point, like you said, read the rules, because at this point, I'm not sure we're supposed to be filing anything at this point. I just show up what we have.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know what you'd be putting in at this point.
If the court wanted you to present something to the court, you would get a notice of that from the court.
So basically, you want to go in there loaded for bear and everything, including defending the case.
Okay.
Got you. Okay. Well, we learned a lot from you all, so we're going to get whatever we can and build up all the facts. And
there you
go. Ready for this.
Yep.
All right. But, yes, I had it all along right in front of me, and it's easy to just go online, too, and look it up myself. But now I know exactly what to do, the paper, and go online because it is recorded. All right. But I thank you. And when we find out new information, we'll let you know. And hi, Jesse. I heard his voice in the background.
Okay. I'm here, Jesse, man. I'm just staying quiet so I don't talk over you guys.
I appreciate you all. And thank you again. All right. Until soon. All right. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. And you know what? That's the last hand we've got up. And we've taken up the better part of the 2 hours.
We have.
Almost 20 till, so we've had some good discussion.
It was a productive call.
Yeah, and that's what we want to have. So anyway, we are at the end of the road here. Terry has a call on Thursday, and if you don't, if you're not on her list and don't know about her call, what you want to do is send an email to Queen Songbird. That's all one word, queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say in the subject line, please put me on the list. And she will email you the information on the call, the number and the PIN code stuff. That call starts at 8 o'clock Thursday night Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And she doesn't send that information out every week, so when you get it, make sure you write it down, put it in where you keep your important information for appointments or whatever, so that you have that. But the next monthly call we have is going to be in mid-August. I don't have the date right in front of me. Maybe Jesse has got that, but it'll be about 4 weeks.
I have a webinar tomorrow. Yeah, the next call is exactly 4 weeks from today.
Right. Okay. So 4 weeks from today will be the next Tuesday night call. Jesse does have a webinar. It's going to be open discussion on foreclosures, right?
Correct. The 10th is the next call.
Okay. August 10th.
10th of August.
10th of August. And then the 7th of September.
Mm-hmm. So,
you got it written down there. Yeah.
Yep.
And then the 5th
of October. So that's our schedule going forward. And for anybody that's been kind of, well, sitting around out here, I'm thinking about joining the website, but I don't know. You know, if you think you may have some problems with debt issues going forward based on your situation and us knowing, all of us knowing that things are going to come unraveled in a big way, we don't know exactly when. We don't know how bad it's going to be. It's going to be bad. But if you think that you're in a situation where you might have to deal with some of these things, waiting till it happens and then having the deer in the headlights look is not a good plan of action. A good plan of action is to get in the website, become a member, start learning about this stuff. And then when we have these calls, and we have Terry's calls on Thursday nights, and hers calls are every Thursday night with few exceptions, you can study and you can learn about things. And when you have questions on things, we can help answer those for you and point you in a direction. It doesn't have to be that you are in a situation where you're dealing with, you know, litigation or potential litigation or a collector harassing you or something. Get ahead of the ball game. Don't find yourself behind the eight ball. Get out in front and be proactive. Excuse me. Throat's getting dry and raspy here. But anyway, that's what you need to be doing. If you're not doing it yet, well, I don't know what to tell you. So, that's all we got for tonight. I am going to turn it over to Jesse for him to wrap things up as usual. And you'll probably hear my voice on Terry's call on Thursday night.
Well, guys, thank you for joining our call. And again, it's once a month, I know, guys, but we just, with time and then people not really coming on the call as much as they used to, we have to kind of limit our time and energy and put it in certain places. So as things heat up or things get worse, I should say, the goal will be to speed it up, speed up our webinar cycles, and do everything that we need to do to help, you know, the membership and those that aren't in members. So, you know, our goal here is always to help you guys, and obviously the goal should be for you guys to help yourself and not wait till you're in a deep boiling pot of water like a frog in a slow pot, you know, to start learning. So if you can at all and you're not a member, you need to join and get practicing right now. That is something that you guys really need to take care of. So anyway, you know, we encourage that. Always get ahead. Always stay ahead of the game. That's the key to any success in life. So with that being said, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Again, Dave, I'm so glad that you are feeling better and doing better and gaining some weight. It makes me really, really happy because even my wife said, Dave looks awful damn thin. So it's not a good thing.
Danny probably wanted to send him 2 crates of chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, he was really like, you know, that that is something that she was concerned with. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And so is my son.
Yeah, I can tell you that what I went through, being really sick for a month and 4 days in the hospital, I lost 31 pounds in less than a month. That's not a good diet plan. I just want to confirm that. It's not a good way to lose weight. So don't try it. It wasn't any fun. It was an extraordinarily painful experience for me. So I am doing a lot better. I'm able to function. I can actually think about things now, too, which I couldn't do then. So anyway, I am doing a lot better, and I'll just keep doing it. That's what I do.
That's great.
So I've got a birthday coming up a week from tomorrow. I'll be 74
yes, you do.
A week tomorrow.
Yep. Same day as my grandson's first birthday.
Yep. So.
So your
anyway.
Your birthday is the 21st, right, Dan? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The
yep,
20.
The
21st.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Week
so
from
I might,
tomorrow.
I might
I
have
believe.
To send you a pack of protein cookies. Not protein powder, but protein cookies.
Yeah, no protein powder. Yeah. Now I'm getting protein. I'm eating good now, but that unfortunately wasn't the case for the month of May. The month of May was really bad. Food tasted like something out of the city dump, and well, it's just say it wasn't good.
Right.
So, anyway, I'm past that, onward and upward, and tomorrow's another day. There's no guarantees, and I don't take that for granted.
Does your bacon taste good again?
My bacon is okay, yep. Yep.
All right. So, he is back almost to normal.
Yeah. I'm farther back to normal when my bacon tastes right. But I'll tell you what, there was a time, a few weeks there where nothing tasted good. So I basically didn't eat for almost a month. My body ate itself
right.
is what happened. I lost so much weight. So, but anyway, I'm doing better. It was good to see Jesse here several weeks ago when he was here. Wish we could do that a little more often. But
me too, brother.
Deal with what we got to deal with. So anyway, everybody have a great week. And we'll see you on the next calls that we've got. And like I said, you'll probably hear my voice on Terry's call on Thursday night.
All righty, guys. Anyway, you guys have a great night. And we'll talk maybe even turf. I don't know. Maybe Thursday I'll jump on your call, Terry.
Oh, yeah, you're always welcome on my call. You know that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I might just do that. I miss talking with these people. I do. All righty. Anyway, guys, go ahead, Dave. You got the board, so you can hang it. Did John ever show up tonight?
Yep. Yep. Or no, John didn't make it tonight. Larry was here, but John didn't make it.
Well, hey, Larry, I didn't see him. I didn't hear him. I didn't see anything. So
he didn't say
no
anything.
No worries.
Sometimes Larry just is in the background. You know.
Yep. As quiet as a church mouse.
Yep. Multitasking, more than likely.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, man. I got to get some rest. I got to get up at 6 and head to Ocala. So my butt will be is tired. Not gonna be tired. My buddy is tired.
Well,
already.
I think I'm gonna go to the KuCoin website and see about continuing my registration with my new stupid smartphone.
Yeah, if you need anything, man. Yeah, but if you need anything, holler at me. Don't just.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's just trying to figure out
don't
how
shy.
To use
reach
this,
out to
this
me.
Thing. Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah,
well,
I
was thinking
well,
you
what
had,
model
I thought
phone
you
did
had
you get?
An iPhone. Yeah. I got an LG
said what?
Journey. I got an LG Journey. It's you know just an inexpensive
Android.
Smartphone.
Android. It's not an iPhone. Good. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I can help you with that damn thing, Dave. It's not that hard.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know.
Well, if I call
literally.
You 12 times a day, I hope you don't get upset.
I won't. Why the hell would I get upset? You're my friend. Sorry about closing down my office.
Not at 12 times a day, I wouldn't be your friend very long.
You're my friend at 100 times a day. It don't matter.
Yeah, if I need something, I'll yell
matter.
At you.
We'll you will, talk. Not a problem.
Yeah, like I
seriously,
say, I'm waiting
you too,
for...
Terry. It doesn't bother me any. When I need something, I call you guys. I don't have a damn issue with it, do I? You know?
Yeah.
I'm
waiting.
You got to ask our permission first.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my wire to hit the Bittrex account so I can buy some. I got to get the U.S. dollar token, and then I'm going to get the VET get a chunk of that, and I'm going to buy some more ether, and then I got to figure out what else I want. So anyway, tomorrow's
awesome.
Another day. Hopefully,
that's all
I'll
it
be
is, my brother.
In the morning. Yep.
Oh, you will.
Yep. All right,
alrighty, guys.
Have a great one. Talk
you
to you soon,
Jeff. Thank you, Dave.
Good night,
okay,
all.
Buddy.
Yep.
Good night, Derek. We'll talk to you later, sweetheart. Okay. Bye, bye.